Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm extremely grateful today to all the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnavis for giving me the opportunity to give my very first Srimad Bhagavatam class in this lifetime. So I'm extremely, extremely grateful. There's a lot of qualified people who should be sitting here. And in fact, I'm feeling all the more nervous because my own Guru Maharaj is here. But thank you so much, Vas Prabhu and Archita Prabhu and all the senior Vaishnavas for giving me this opportunity. I'm very grateful to you. So please forgive me for any offenses that I may commit, consciously, subconsciously, or unconsciously. That is not the intention, but I hope to learn from all my mistakes. So we'll be reading from Bhagavatam, where we left off yesterday. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayet. Nashtapraeshu Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shlokir. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Canto 3, Chapter 23, Text 45. Please repeat. Tasmin vimana utkrishtam. Shayayam rati karim shrita. Na chabudhyatatam kalam. Patya pichena sangata. Tasmin vimana utkrishtam. Shayam rati karim shrita. Na chabudhyatatam kalam. Patya pichena sangata. Tasmin vimana utkrishtam. Shayam rati karim shrita. Na chabudhyatatam kalam. Patya pichena sangata. Vaishnavis. Tasmin, in that, Viman, airplane, Utkrishtam, excellent, Shayam, a bed, Rati Kareem, increasing sexual desires, Shita, situated on, Na, not, Cha, and, Abuddhyata, she noticed, Tam, that, Kalam, time, Patya, with her husband, Api Chena, most handsome, Sangata, in company. Translation and purport given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please repeat. In that aerial mansion, Devahuti, in the company of her handsome husband, situated on an excellent bed that increased sexual desires, could not realize how much time was passing. Purport. Sex indulgence is so enjoyable for materialistic people that when they engage in such activities, they forget how time is passing. Saint Kardama and Devahuti, in their sex indulgence, also forgot how time was passing by. Om Gyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Radhanath Swaminiti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauramani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is a very interesting chapter which is talking about the pastimes of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Kardama Muni is one of the great Prajapatis and he was given the order by Lord Brahma to procreate, to generate and populate the world. And Devahuti is the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. She has two other sisters. And Devahuti is known for her chastity, her purity. And when I was reading these past 5 or 10 verses, I realized, I was meditating on how it's mentioned sexual desire is very natural between a man and a woman. But it's not the sexual desire itself, but it's rather when, how and under what circumstance, what mind frame a child is conceived. So I was thinking of Diti and Kashyap, where Diti was actually overtaken by very lusty desires, and despite her husband telling her that this is not an opportune time for procreation and union, because Lord Shiva's associates were going out in the night, in the dusk, and this would be very ominous for a child to take birth. And she could not control her sexual desires, and Kashyapa Muni had to relent. And we know what happened. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born. But in this case, it's very different, extremely different. Although Devahuti had sexual desires, she served her husband extensively for years and years and years. And it's mentioned how her body was emaciated, how her hair was matted, how her body was dirty. And Kardama Muni was accepting her service as a husband, and she was constantly serving. And one day, Kardama Muni looked at her and said, "She has served me so nicely." And then she expressed her desire to have children. And that's when, through his yogic powers, Kardama Muni actually created a wonderful palace. And then he created all conditions to make the union very favorable and very auspicious. And we know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Lord Kapila, actually took birth from the union of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. So there's a huge difference here in terms of time, place and circumstance when a child is conceived. And Kardama Muni is a great yogi, and Mother Devahuti is a great pious lady, a mother. So their union was, of course, considered to be very auspicious. They also had 9 daughters, but Lord Kapila is one of their most famous sons. So today is actually an extremely auspicious day, and I'm actually going to focus most of my talk on that. Today there's three major events. It's the appearance day of Mother Sita Devi. It's also the appearance day of Mother Janava Devi, and it's the disappearance day of Madhu Pandit. So Sita Devi is the consort of Lord Ram. She is the incarnation of Mother Lakshmi herself. Mother Janava Devi is the wife of Lord Nityanand Prabhu, and Madhu Pandit is one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, who is actually very famous for worshipping Lord Gopinath in Vrindavan, and he's the disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. So today, actually, I'll be focusing my class strictly on Mother Sita, because it is Sita Navami today. So today is the ninth day of the Shukla Paksh in the month of Vaishakh. And Shukla Paksh is the light fortnight. And it is mentioned today is the day when Mother Sita appeared. So in my class, I'll talk a little bit about Mother Sita's qualities, how she appeared, very unusual way how she took birth, and her marriage to Lord Ram, and few of her pastimes with Lord Ram, which are very interesting here. But before I start that, I would actually like to offer my prayers to Mother Sita. Udbhavasati samhara karinim kala saharinim sarvasreyas karim sitam natoham ramavallabham. I bow to Sita, the beloved consort of Sri Ram, who is responsible for the creation, sustenance and dissolution of the universe, who removes afflictions and begets all blessings. This is from Sri Ramcharitmanas, Mangalacharan, Shlok number 5. So Sita, Mother Sita has various names here, and each name has a different connotation here. Her name is Sita because the word Sit in Sanskrit means the furrow. So when a farmer goes into the farmland and takes a plow and is farming the field, the furrow that is created there is known as Sit. And we'll see how she got that name, Sita, from that particular furrow. She's also known by the name Vaidehi because she's the daughter of Janak Maharaj, and Janak is known as Vaideha, who has transcended his bodily consciousness. She is also known as Janaki or Janak Nandini, the daughter of Maharaj Janak. She is also known as Maithili because she is the princess of the kingdom of Mithila. She is also known as Bhumija, that means one who comes from Mother Earth. She is also known as Janak Atmata, that means the life and soul of Maharaj Janak. So, some of our acharyas define Ramayana. This is Valmiki's Ramayana. The entire content is coming from Valmiki's Ramayana and Srila Prabhupada's words also from Devi Bhagavat in Vedabhis. So, some acharyas says Ramayana is made up of two words, Rama and Ayana. Rama is Lord Ram. Ayana means the travel and the journeys of Lord Ram. So, that's Ramayana. But on the other hand, some acharya says it is Rama Ayana, and Rama is Mother Lakshmi, that is the wife of Lord Ram. So one can see it both ways, because Ramayana is actually the pastimes of Lord Ram and Mother Sita. So it is mentioned here that Mother Sita is the emblem of humility, of tolerance, of purity, of chastity. She is the ideal mother, the ideal daughter, the ideal wife, and she is the ideal guide for all of us to take shelter from. It is mentioned that she is the Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether we talk about Radhe Shyam, we talk about Sita Ram or Lakshmi Narayan, the female counterpart is the Shakti of the Shaktiman. And the Shaktiman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is no meaning to Shakti without Shaktiman. And there is no meaning to Shaktiman without the Shakti. And they are never separated because they are always together, as we can see on our altar way. We'll talk about a little bit about the birth of Mother Sita. As we all know, she took birth in a very unusual fashion. Her father is known as Shiradhwaja Janak. In fact, Janak is just a title. And there is a whole interesting story how Janak, the whole lineage comes through. Long, long ago, in the dynasty of Maharaj Ikshvaku, Maharaj Nimi took birth. And it is said Maharaj Nimi wanted to conduct a very huge sacrifice in his kingdom. So he requested his guru, Vasishtha Muni, to come and preside over the sacrifice. But Vasishtha Muni was invited exactly at the same time in the heavenly kingdoms to create another sacrifice. So he told Maharaj Nimi that I will not be able to come for your sacrifice. And then the auspicious time in Maharaj Nimi's kingdom was going away, and he had to conduct that sacrifice, otherwise he would lose the auspicious time. So in the absence of Vasishtha Muni, he requested another priest to conduct the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was conducted. But Vasishtha Muni comes to know about this after he's done his sacrifice in the heavenly planets. And he comes down and he sees Maharaj Nimi has already completed the sacrifice without him. So he gets really angry. And Vasishtha Muni curses Nimi Maharaj that I curse you to die. And Nimi Maharaj, although being his disciple, he also curses him that I had requested you and you should have been at my sacrifice. And he curses Vasishtha Muni to die. So both of them die. And eventually the Brahman says, all the Brahmins in the kingdom say, we don't have a king. What should we do? We are in a very precarious situation. What should we do? So we should revive both Maharaj Nimi and Vasishtha Muni. So they do some interesting rituals and both are revived. But they ask Maharaj Nimi, would you like to be revived and live in a bodily platform? And he says, no, I don't want to be revived. This material world is a place of misery. And Vasishtha Muni gets revived. So what the inhabitants of Maharaj Nimi's kingdom do is they take his body and they churn it. And they churn it and churn it and churn it. And from that churning comes essentially a personality who is known as Mithi Janak. Janak is actually means somebody who has taken birth. And Mithi means someone who has taken birth by churning something. So that is why Janak is simply a title, and there are all the kings coming in that family are actually called Janak. So Mother Sita's father is known as Shiradhvaja Janak. He's also coming in that particular line. And since he was ruling over the kingdom of Mithila, of course it's coming from his name Mithi Janak. That's how the name came as Mithila. And then that kingdom is also known as Vaidehi Pur. Vaidehi means Deha, means body, Vai means transcending the body. As we know, Vaikuntha, Kuntha means misery, and Vaikuntha means a place where there is no misery. Likewise, Vaideha means a person who is not coming from the natural bodily sense here, because he was born from the churning of Maharaja's Nimi body. So Mother Sita is also known as Vaidehi, the daughter of Vaideha. So this is a very interesting story about her birth. It is mentioned that Maharaj Janak was without children, so he wanted to perform a sacrifice in order to get a child. So in order to do the sacrifice, one of the conditions was he had to go to the farming land with the plow and he had to plow the land. And wherever the plow would actually get stuck, he had to give a lot of charity to the Brahmins there. So he went to the farmland and he started plowing. And after some time, the plow actually got stuck and refused to move. And he tried to move the plow and it wasn't moving at all. And there was a furrow created. So the plow was hitting something. And so when the inhabitants came and they removed the soil, they saw a very beautiful golden box there under the earth. And they were astonished. So they removed the golden box from the earth and they opened. And inside the golden box was one of the most sweetest, gentlest babies sitting in the box. And that was Mother Sita. It is defined that that baby was completely gorgeous, soft, tender and sweet. And her qualities are really, really hard to define. In fact, I'll talk about Mother Sita's beauty a little bit later. And so she was born from earth. So she's also known as Bhaumi, coming from the earth, or she is known as Mrinmayi or Parthavi, that means she is actually coming from the earth. And so it is mentioned here, how did this happen? How did Mother Sita actually take birth from the earth itself? So I'm going to go back to a very old story here, and this is coming from Devi Bhagavat, which I read in the Vedabase. Long ago there was a wonderful sage by the name of Kushadwaja. And he had a lovely daughter, absolutely lovely daughter, by the name of Vedavati. And every person wanted to marry Vedavati. But Vedavati only wanted to marry one person, and that was Lord Vishnu. And her father knew that she only has eyes and her heart is for Lord Vishnu. But a lot of demons came and the celestial beings also came and they said, please give your daughter to us. And he refused because Vedavati wanted to marry Lord Vishnu. So one day, a very evil demon came by the name of Shambhu. Not Lord Shiva, but another Shambhu. And he came and he killed her father, Kushadwaja, because he refused to give his daughter in charity to Shambhu. Now when Vedavati came to know about this, she became extremely angry and she burnt the demon Shambhu by looking at him, simply by her glance, by burning him into ashes. And then she went away to the forest to perform lots and lots of austerities to gain Lord Vishnu as a husband. And then it is mentioned, while she was doing that, Ravan, the evil king, actually came and he saw her and he got attracted towards her. And he wanted her for himself. So he came and he touched her. So it is known in the Vedic times when a woman is touched, it is mentioned that she's not pure essentially. She's touched by a man different from her husband. And this is what happened to Vedavati. When she realized she was touched by Ravan, she became extremely angry and she gave him a curse. She says, "Oh Ravan, I am actually going to immolate myself because my body has become completely contaminated because of your touch. So I'm going to burn myself. But I curse you, I will come in my next lifetime and I will be responsible for burning your kingdom." And this is the curse she gave him. And then she immolated herself and she passed away. And it is mentioned Ravan is so crazy, he was so attached to her that he took her ashes with him to the kingdom of Lanka. And he put the ashes in a golden box. And he put that golden box in his treasury in the kingdom. And the moment he got these ashes, everything wrong went in his kingdom. There were inauspicious omens and everything was grief-stricken. So everything was completely going wrong. At that time, Narad Muni came. And Narad Muni said, "Ravan, you are keeping the ashes of a dead person in your kingdom, as a result of which everything is becoming very inauspicious. I suggest you remove these ashes from here." So Ravan follows Narad Muni's advice. He takes the golden box and throws it into the river. From the river, the golden box floats through the currents of the river and comes and settles at the shores of the kingdom Mithila, which is ruled by Janak Maharaj. And at the shores, the box actually sinks into the planet, into the earth. And that's how King Janak actually found the golden box. And it is mentioned, Mother Sita is the direct incarnation of Mother Lakshmi. And Vedavati is also an incarnation of Mother Lakshmi. So it is mentioned in the Veda base that this story of Kushadwaja and the entire story is coming from Devi Bhagavat here. So when Mother Sita was growing, it is mentioned after Mother Sita was adopted by Maharaj Janak and his wife Sunaina, they actually had a second daughter whose name was Urmila. And then later they had two other sisters. Janak Maharaj's brother was named Kushadwaja, not the same Kushadwaja from the previous story, but another Kushadwaja. He and his wife Chandrabhaga had two more daughters named Mandavi and Shrutakirti. So now they are four daughters in this kingdom. It is mentioned that when Mother Sita was a small girl, she was playing with her friends, with the Sakhi, with the ball. And the ball went inside the palace and kind of snuck under a table. And on that table was this huge, gigantic, most powerful bow. And that bow was Lord Shiva's bow, and also known as Pinaka. So that bow has a very interesting history. We won't have too much time to go over it. But in order to get to the ball, she had to move the table and the bow. And Mother Sita is very small at that time. I don't know the exact age. The Shastras don't mention. But she's a little girl. She gently, with her left hand, she lifts the bow, moves the table, gets the ball, puts the bow back and goes back in place with her sakhis. And the guards actually see this and they are completely horrified because they know the power of the bow and they said, how did this little girl move the bow? And they quickly run to Maharaj Janak and they tell him that your daughter moved the bow like it was a piece of grass. And Maharaj Janak is completely astonished. How is this possible? This is Lord Shiva's amazing bow. So at that point, Maharaj Janak actually resolves that since my daughter is so strong that she is able to lift Lord Shiva's bow with her left hand, I will make this condition when that she grows old, anybody who is able to lift this bow will be eligible to marry my daughter. Why? Because if somebody is not able to lift this bow and that person is not strong enough, when Mother Sita gets married to him and she embraces him, he's going to get crushed. So that is one of the reasons that person has to be able to get the strength to be able to lift the bow. So this bow is known as Pinaka, and it is mentioned, it is also known as Haradhanu. There are two versions, it is mentioned, I'm not sure which one is the correct one, maybe Archita Prabhu can correct me. In some shastras it is said this bow was made by Vishwakarma, and given, there were two bows, one was given to Lord Shiva, and the other was given to Lord Vishnu. Shiva's bow is known as Pinaka, Lord Vishnu is known as Shranga. And then another scripture says it's made by Lord Indra. But regardless, this bow is used by Lord Shiva for annihilation purposes. And it was given to Maharaj Ikshvaku, who passed it on to that dynasty, starting from Deva Ratha, who passed it to Maharaj Nimi, and then finally it came to Maharaj Janak. It is mentioned that in order to move the bow from the treasury to the place where the Swayamvar, that means now it is the time for Mother Sita to get married, and she had the choice to choose her own husband, known as Swayamvara. So to move the bow from the treasury to the hallway where Mother Sita is actually going to get married, where all the kings are assembled, 5,000 men were needed to move this bow, and this bow was placed on a chariot, and there were 500 bulls pulling this bow and 5,000 men pushing the chariot to get this bow to be situated where Mother Sita was going to be married. So 5,000 men and 500 very strong bulls, and Mother Sita simply lifted her with her left hand. And so it is mentioned that the condition was made by Maharaj Janak. It is mentioned that lines and lines and lines were kings were lined up to marry Mother Sita because she was stunningly beautiful. Everyone wanted her. Nobody was able to lift the bow. In fact, they couldn't even lift anything. They couldn't even really lift it a little bit. And then most of the kings, all of them were not able to lift, and they became dejected. And then they started cursing Maharaj Janak. What kind of father are you? Do you want your daughter to remain unmarried and a spinster throughout her life? This is a ridiculous condition you have imposed on us. In fact, nobody will be able to lift the bow and your daughter will remain unmarried. And you will be responsible for her grief. And they're starting actually insulting him, and they're starting joking amongst themselves that although your daughter is beautiful, nobody will marry her because nobody will be able to lift the bow. And then in comes Vishwamitra Muni with the two most gorgeous princes, Lord Ram and Lakshman. And he gives the command, Vishwamitra, that please, Ram, go ahead and lift the bow and take Mother Sita's hand in marriage. And Lord Ram comes. He's able to easily lift the bow. Not only does he lift the bow, he's holding the bow in the center, and it is mentioned as he's stringing the bow, he actually breaks the bow in the center. And there is a huge sound because now the bow is broken, essentially. And now everybody starts clapping. Maharaj Janak is absolutely ecstatic that somebody has been able to break the bow and I will be able to get my daughter married to him, essentially. So it is mentioned here in Valmiki Narayan, why is the bow broken, especially in the center? Why not any other part of the bow? It is mentioned by Acharyas that the two ends of the bow represent birth and death, and the center of the bow represents our false ego. And our false ego connects us to the birth and death. And that is why Lord Ram, when he breaks the bow, it is an indication we need to break our false ego so that we can be released from this cycle of birth and death. So Maharaj Janak now invites Mother Sita to come into the assembly and garland Lord Ram. And Mother Sita is absolutely ecstatic. She's coming, it is defined. She's very shy and she's coming with a garland in her hand, and she's essentially slowly walking towards Lord Ram. And it is mentioned that she's coming to garland him, and Maharaj Janak says, please accept, he goes to Lord Ram and says, please accept my daughter Sita as your duly wedded wife. And everyone's really waiting for this moment when they would garland each other. But Lord Ram says something which strikes everybody. He says, I'm afraid I cannot marry your daughter Sita. And everyone's really struck. What happened? Why is this happening? And Maharaj Janak is completely astounded. Why can't Lord Ram marry my daughter? And now the bow is also broken, so I cannot have this Swayamvar again. So he's praying, oh Lord Ram, can you tell us why you cannot marry my daughter? He says, I need the permission of my father, Dashrath Maharaj. Without his permission, I cannot marry your daughter. So Mother Sita, everyone is very dismayed that this is happening, because now he has to get permission from his father, Dashrath Maharaj, who is so far away in Ayodhya. So how will this materialize? And everyone is looking very pitifully at Mother Sita, that she came so close to marriage, but now that person is not willing to marry her. So instead of being sorry and sad, Mother Sita is extremely happy. And it is mentioned, why is she happy? She is happy because she finds that Lord Ram is satisfying the three criteria that she is looking for in a husband. And it is mentioned here that every woman is looking for these three criteria in a husband. And what are those? First of all, the husband should be able to offer full protection to his wife. And she sees that Lord Ram is able to satisfy this because he has already killed so many demons. The second criteria is the husband should be able to speak the right things at the right time under the right circumstances to the right person. And she saw that at Lord Ram, because Lord Ram spoke very honestly and very candidly about telling them that I'm not going to marry your daughter until my father gives approval. So she was very happy that he fulfilled the second criteria. And the third criteria, which is the most important, is the husband should be able to have a very high level of self-control and should not be succumbing to temptations. And we know Mother Sita is extremely beautiful. And Lord Ram could have been struck by her beauty. In fact, he was struck by her beauty. And he could have forgotten his father. And he could have said, yes, I really want to marry your daughter. She's so beautiful. But he was not succumbing to the temptations of her beauty. So all these criteria are satisfied. Now we move forward. Dashrath Maharaj, when he comes to know, he's very ecstatic. And he gives the permission to Lord Ram, please go ahead and marry Mother Sita. And it is mentioned here that in the assembly, Urmila, her younger sister, was also there, and Lakshman was watching Urmila, and Urmila was watching Lakshman, and they developed an attraction for each other. And now Dashrath Maharaj comes, he blesses Lord Ram and Lord Lakshman, gives them the permission to get married, and he sees that Lakshman and Urmila are also developing an attraction. So he makes a proposal to Maharaj Janak that why don't all four of your daughters marry my four sons? And that's how the four sons of Dashrath Maharaj, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna, married Sita, Urmila, Mandavi and Shrutakirti. Now it was the time for actually garlanding each other. Lord Ram comes and garlands Mother Sita. Mother Sita is planning to garland Lord Ram, but he's standing very, very straight. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not learned to bow down to anybody here. So now Mother Sita is, she's of course a little bit shorter than him. So she's trying now, she doesn't want to like be on the tippy toes. And who comes to her rescue is Lakshman. Lakshman says, okay, my brother is not doing, he needs to bend down. So I have to find something that will make him bend down. So he quickly goes and touches the feet of his elder brother. And whenever Lakshman touches Lord Ram's feet, he actually bends down and picks him up and hugs him. And so the moment he bends down, Sita quickly garlands him. And then everybody starts clapping and laughing here. And then there's another peculiar thing here. Normally in the Vedic wedding, as we've seen here, the father during the time of Kanyadan gives the hand of the groom, gives the hand of the bride in the hand of the groom. So if this is the bride's hand, he puts it in the hand of the groom. But Maharaj Janak did the absolute opposite. He actually gave the hand of Lord Ram in Mother Sita's hand, which is the complete opposite according to Vedic traditions. So it is mentioned, why did he do this? He did this, and Lord Ram was also interestingly surprised here, although he's Krishna himself. So he mentions to Lord Ram while putting Lord Ram's in Mother Sita's hand, he says, "Lord Ram, from now on, Sita will be your protector, and she will protect you from succumbing to any weaknesses, and any time you are in any problems, she will always be right by your side." And then he tells Lord Ram, "Oh Ram, this is your Sita." So our Acharya says, why is Janak pointing to Sita like this? This is your Sita. And they give a very interesting summary here, that Sita is so stunningly beautiful that actually kings faint when they see her, exactly like Mother Rukmini. They actually faint looking at her beauty. So Lord Ram, it is mentioned that because she was so beautiful, it is possible that he was probably seeing Mother Sita everywhere. He was looking at Sita everywhere. And so Maharaj Janak had to tell him that this is your Sita, and so you have to take her as your wedded wife. This is one of the reasons. Now, it is mentioned the beauty of Mother Sita is absolutely stunning. Her feet are so soft that it is hard to define how soft her feet are, because she always wore golden sandals in the palace. She never went barefoot. And her skin is so soft because the sun and the moon and the stars have actually not touched her. Whenever she went out, she would be always in a palanquin or an umbrella. And it is mentioned that even a newly grown tender leaf from a mango tree, if it falls on her cheek or on her skin, her cheek will become completely red. That's the softness of her beauty. And it is mentioned here that when they got married, the inhabitants of Mithila said, "O Lord Ram, you need 1,000 eyes to see the beauty of our princess." And likewise, the inhabitants of Ayodhya, they counteracted and they said, "O Sita, you need 1,000 eyes to see the beauty of our Lord Ram." So they were kind of jestfully playing with each other here. So this is actually the beauty of Ram and Sita. I'm just going to end in about 3 minutes here. So it is mentioned here that Mother Sita is so innocent that she does not even know what a forest life looks like. I'm just moving forward here. When Dashrath Maharaj, we know the pastime with Mother Kekayi, when she actually requested Ram to be banished to the kingdom for 14 years, and Mother Sita and Lakshman also went. And it is mentioned that Lord Ram used to walk in the front, Mother Sita in the middle, and Lakshman right in the end. And the path was completely littered with thorns and bushes. And Mother Sita's feet are so tender that if the thorns pierce her, she will have bloodied feet. So essentially, Lord Ram is walking first. So it is mentioned wherever there are thorns on the pathway, if somebody walks on that soil, the thorns will actually sink into the soil. So the next person who is walking will not feel all those thorns. So Mother Sita had the opportunity to actually walk on Lord Ram's footprints so she would not feel the thorns. But she refused to walk on Lord Ram's footprints because those footprints were her complete master, and she could never think of actually stepping on those footprints. So she walked on the left side of those footprints. And the same way, Lakshman, he felt he could not walk on the footprints of Lord Ram and Mother Sita, so he also walked on the left side of Lord Ram and Mother Sita's footprints. This is the level of Vedic culture. What to speak of even touching anybody, they would not even step on each other's footprints. This is the level here. And then another very interesting pastime is one time Sita Ram Lakshman were close to the bank of Godavari River, and Lord Ram wanted to play with Mother Sita, and they were having a wonderful time in the forest. So he says, "Oh Sita, let's have a competition. Let's see who goes swimming to the other side of Godavari and comes back. And Lakshman, you be the judge. Whoever swims on the other side and comes back first will be the winner." And Lakshman says, "What kind of competition is this? You are such a strong man and she's such a fragile, delicate woman." Ram says, "It's okay. Let's see this. We are having a nice time in the forest." So it is mentioned they both of them go in the river, and Lord Ram is very, very strong. He's the strongest. He starts swimming and he already reaches the other side, and Mother Sita is swimming very gently and very slowly, and she's not even halfway in the river. So Lord Ram is looking at her and he's returning back, and Mother Sita has not even reached the other side. So Lord Ram says, "Is my winning worth it? What will I gain by winning this competition? So he goes inside the water and he dips himself and he hides himself and he doesn't go back to the shore of the river. He waits for Mother Sita to come back and he lets her go in front of him. And once she's crossed on the other side of Godavari, he emerges from the water and then he follows her. And so she reaches the end of Godavari River, and then it is said Lord Ram started acting a little bit clumsily, like he's drowning and he's going like this and like this. And Mother Sita bursts out laughing, and she laughs and laughs and laughs, and her cheeks are pink and her face is glowing with beauty. And then Lord Ram says, this is totally worth losing this competition, just looking at the face of Mother Sita laughing so beautifully. And that is why he did this. So I'm just going to end here. How in Ashok Vatika, Mother Sita is the emblem of tolerance, humility, purity and chastity. It is mentioned that Ravan used to often come after he had kidnapped Mother Sita and kept her in his kingdom of Lanka, and she was placed in Ashok Vatika. She would take two flowers from a tree, and the flowers were so beautifully shaped that in the center of the flower, there was a little raised portion which reminded her of the bows. And she thought of these two flowers as Ram and Lakshman carrying their bows. So when she used to sit under a tree, she would put one flower on her left side, one on the right, and then she would meditate that both Ram and Lakshman are actually protecting her. And then when Ravan used to come and say, come and have a union with me, she would take a blade of grass and she would say, this blade of straw is going to protect me. Anytime you cross this blade of grass, I will actually burn myself. So she tells Ravan, oh Ravan, you're so foolish. I have the capacity to burn you into ashes. Even now, right now, I can burn you into ashes. You're such an evil demon. In fact, I can do anything with you right now because my Lord carries Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma in his four arms. But I carry these weapons on the fingertips, and I can actually crush you with my fingertips, but I don't want to do this. Why? Because I want to give this glory of killing to my Lord, not to me. I want my Lord to be glorious. He has to kill you, and that is why I'm not burning you into ashes. And so this is the power of Mother Sita, that even when Hanumanji came and said, oh Mother Sita, climb on my back, I will take you back to Ayodhya. She says, no, I will only allow my Lord to touch my body. I belong to him. And this is her level of purity and chastity. And she said, tell Ram, I am waiting for him. He has to come and rescue me. And that is how Lord Ram came and rescued her. And she's so kind and so gentle that when she was rescued and everybody was going on the Pushpak, which is a very large transporter, it's a vehicle, Lord Ram, Lakshman, Hanumanji, Sugriva, all the monkeys were sitting on that Pushpak and they were going back to Ayodhya. And while they were flying over Kishkinda is the place where all the monkeys live with their wives, all the wives were looking up like this, and they were grief-stricken. They were praying that, oh, we wish we could also go to Ayodhya with our husbands. And they had tears in their eyes. And they were looking up. Mother Sita looks down and she sees the women crying. And she tells Lord Ram, please halt, take the pushpak down. I want all the wives, all the monkeys also to climb on this pushpak, because I don't want to leave these wives behind. They should also come and enjoy the celebration. And so the pushpak extended into double the size, and then all the monkeys' wives also came essentially, and they all went there. So these are just little snippets of the sweetness, of the purity, of the tolerance, of the compassion of the Holy Mother, Mother Sita. And then of course later we do know that She was exiled and she was tested. And the interesting pastime is who was it that Ravan kidnapped? It was actually the shadow of Sita. In fact, when Ravan came to the forest to kidnap Mother Sita, she had actually already sought refuge in the fire god. And fire god was meant to protect her. And Ravan, actually the one he kidnapped, was the illusory Sita, Mayavi Sita, who had actually come from the fire. So when Mother Sita came back to Lord Ram after she was rescued, Lord Ram, they actually used to speak with their eyes. It is mentioned that Ram and Sita used to speak with their eyes. He actually motioned to her, there was a fire, that he motioned to her that she has to go there. And so everyone was astounded. Why is he telling for her to go there? Why is he giving her such a big test that she has to prove her chastity, since she was living in Lanka for 10 months in an external man's home? She was required to prove her chastity. But she was not required to prove her chastity. Because the real mother Sita had to come, this illusory Sita had to go back in the fire, and then the real Sita had to come back. So this is the actual deep meaning behind it, that why she went into the fire, and then the real Sita was brought by the fire god and handed over to Lord Ram. And then of course she was exiled much later also, but we won't have time to discuss here. So it is mentioned that one last thing I just wanted to talk about, that when Lord Ram was exiled to the forest, he said, "Oh Sita, you should stay here with my mother, with your father and mother-in-law, and you should look after them, because you will not be able to tolerate forest life." And Mother Sita gets really angry. She says, "I am your wife. I am your other half. My duty is to look after you." And so they're reasoning with each other. And Lord Ram says, "You will not be able to tolerate forest life. It's full of animals and bushes and thorns." And then Mother Sita says, very interesting, which actually I didn't know. She says, "Oh Lord Ram, you don't even know. When I was a child, an astrologer came to my father and he predicted my future. And he told my father, 'Oh Janak, your daughter will have to go to the forest twice. So I already know I'm destined to go to the forest, and I am mentally and physically prepared for it.'" And when she told this to Ram, Ram eventually relented, and then he took Mother Sita with him. And then of course, Lakshman also went. So I want to end here. There's a lot we can speak about Mother Sita and Mother Janva and Mother Madhu Pandit, but I would like to end here with my obeisances to Mother Sita. Hopefully I could glorify her adequately. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Yeah.